A very good morning, afternoon, evening. May the Lord greatly bless all of the brothers and sisters in different churches worldwide. All of those places where the Church of the Lord has been opened, where people gather. All of those countries, towns, cities, big groups, small groups, groups with 10 hearts that are knowing the Word of God, knowing this treasure, enjoying from God's hand, from His blessings, from His promises, from His mercy. How wonderful it is when we reflect, when we think in all of those promises that God has made us and everything has been fulfilled. And when people testify also of the miracles and the way in which He manifests Himself in each person's life, this is wonderful. It makes us feel that we are important people, that we live for a cause, the cause of the Lord, for the evangelizing work. Therefore, we are here always with that objective of learning from the Lord, learning the doctrine and learning many things so that we may testify and talk about our wonderful God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, that almighty God that manifests Himself in spirit and in truth. Therefore, a greeting to all of you, also the brothers and sisters here, a very warm greeting to you all, first time guests, newcomers as well. You are all welcomed and may God bless you greatly. You may find your places. You may be seated. Each person may have a seat. And we are going to continue reading about that wonderful story of the early church, the acts, the events or occurrences that the first apostles lived when the church began. The way in which God manifested Himself to the apostles, giving them power, giving them abilities, supporting them and teaching them and giving many orders on how they had to behave and proceed, how they needed to do things so that everything would be done according to the word and order of the Lord. And we also read here in the book of Acts of the Apostles, we see many things that fill us with happiness, just as there are many sad things when we read, for example, the persecution against the apostles, the way in which some died, sacrificed. But the Lord wanted it so. God wanted it like this. And in the chapter that we are going to read today, which is chapter 12 of the Acts, we are going to read something sad. Nevertheless, when we read the promises of the Lord, when we read that God planned everything and He was allowing for these things to happen, because after all of these unpleasant things that the apostles suffered, we also, when we read the book of Revelation, we see how God revealed to John that all of those who died and was sacrificed for defending the name of the Lord, they have a very special place in eternal life with God. And we see those blessings there in Revelation that make our sadness and our worry go away when we read the Acts of the Apostles. Therefore, in order for you not to get upset for what happens here, we ought to read Revelation. And there it mentions the apostles. It mentions all of those that were sacrificed, who died for the cause of the Lord, defending the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we are going to begin in Acts chapter 12. And it says, "Now about that time, Herod the king stretched out his hand to harass some from the church. Let us remember that King Herod was the king, supposedly the king of the Jews, but he had been appointed by the Roman Empire. The rulers of the Roman Empire appointed Herod as the king of the Jews, but he was just a decoration. He was there for the sake of appearances only, because Herod wasn't really a person supported by God. He was appointed by men, placed by them. Very well. So King Herod, it says that he stretched out his hand to harass some from the church. Then he killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. King Herod was envious because they had told him that the king of the Jews was born. The true king of the Jews had been born. And that is why this king, it says that he sent to kill all of the children that were younger than 2 years old. At that time, the Lord Jesus Christ was a baby. And God gave a revelation to Joseph and Mary through a dream and told them to go live in Egypt because Herod was after the child to take his life. That is when they traveled to Egypt and they were there until Herod died. After he died, the Lord once again orders them to go back to Jerusalem. So that is the story so that we can set ourselves historically in this reading. So we see Herod's envy because he said, there is someone who is going to take my throne. And that is why it says here that Herod killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to seize Peter also. Now it was during the days of the unleavened bread, so it was a Jewish feast. So when he had arrested him, he put him in prison and delivered him to 4 squads of soldiers to keep him, intending to bring him before the people after Passover. In the law of Moses, God told Moses to Moses, the Lord said that each year after Passover, they needed to bring out someone who was in prison. And they needed to kill someone as well. Surely the person who sinned the most, the person who had committed more crimes, and this person needed to be sacrificed on the day during the time of Passover. So each year, the Jews would celebrate this tradition. And that is why it says that Herod intended, after Passover, to bring Peter before the people to take his life. He was doing it. Herod was doing these things to win over the Jews. And so, verse 5, Peter was therefore kept in prison, but constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. The church prayed for Peter. They asked God for Peter, so that God would keep him and protect him because he was in prison. And we do the same today. Today, when unfortunate things happen, very sad, very hard tribulations happen, what we do is that we pray to our God. And sometimes we tell the church, let us all pray for this cause, for this reason, so that God may listen to us, so that God may bless us, and that God may give us victory. Glory be to our God. We pray to our Lord always. And just as God at that time listened to their prayer, that the Lord may listen to us as well. That is why we read this here. And we are not going to be envious with everything that happened here, all the great miracles, everything that God gave these people. Because today, the Lord also manifests himself in the same way. The Lord manifests himself in the same way. That is why it says that he is the same. He did the same things yesterday, does them today, and will do them tomorrow. So that is our great hope, our joy. In verse 6, it says, And when Herod was about to bring him out, that night Peter was sleeping, bound with two chains between two soldiers, and the guards before the door were keeping the prison. Now behold, an angel of the Lord stood by him, and a light shone in the prison. How wonderful, how beautiful. And he struck Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, "Arise quickly," and his chains fell off his hands. Glory to God, the Lord breaking those chains. Then the angel said to him, "Gird yourself and tie on your sandals." And so he did. And he said to him, Put on your garment and follow me." So he went out and followed him, and did not know that what was done by the angel was real, but thought he was seeing a vision. He thought that he was seeing a vision, but it was a reality. The angel presented himself physically, disguised, let's say, as a guard. And in verse 10, when they were past the first and the second guard posts, they came to the iron gate that leads to the city, which opened to them of its own accord. And they went out and went down one street, and immediately the angel departed from him. We imagine those events. We are imagining as a movie all of these things that happened, all of these wonders that our Lord does with those who love him, with those who follow him. And in verse 11, and when Peter had come to himself, he said, "Now I know for certain that the Lord has sent his angel and has delivered me from the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the Jewish people." So he understood the vision afterward. What must have Peter felt? I think that Peter's faith increased. He, at that moment, said, "Truly, this is the true God. Jesus Christ is the one sent by God. There is no doubt. We cannot doubt." How difficult it was at that time for Jews to accept the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, to accept that Jesus Christ was the one sent, the desire of all nations. He was the king that God had promised through the prophets. But no one wanted to accept, because everyone thought that the Lord, that the king, would be born from a very wealthy family, from a very prestigious family. That is what they always had in their mind, looking at all of these things. And most likely they still think that out of the most prestigious family, out of the best family, the Messiah would come. But they're just left waiting. They are just left waiting. Meanwhile, the Lord came, and the Lord has done many things in the world. He has manifested himself to many people, and he manifests himself. And how sad for those who are still waiting. And we are enjoying this presence of God, this power of God and his love and his mercy. We are enjoying it. And so here, Peter understood that God had sent his angel to deliver him from death. And in verse 12, it says, "So when he had considered this, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. They were all there praying for Peter. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a girl named Rhoda came to answer. When she recognized Peter's voice, because of her gladness, she did not open the gate. She was so happy that she didn't even open the gate. She was so glad that she turned back. And it says, she ran in and announced that Peter stood before the gate. How must that have been? The surprise, the emotion. It was good to see something that they were not used to seeing or to feel. That God was manifesting himself there, how Peter made it to that gate, if he was in prison and those prisons were very secure with all of those doors and gates and chains made of iron where no one could go and destroy these things and escape, that is impossible. And for Peter to be there at the gate, what happened? What extraordinary thing has happened? That is when she then goes and tells the people who are praying. But they said to her, when she says Peter's at the gate, they said, "You are beside yourself." Yet she kept insisting that it was so. So they said, "It is his angel." Now Peter continued knocking, and when they opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. Of course, how were they not going to be astonished? They were marveled by that great miracle that they were seeing with their eyes. But it says here, but motioning to them with his hand to keep silent, he declared to them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he said, "Go tell these things to James and to the brethren." And he departed and went to another place. So he needed to flee. He needed to escape that city to go to a different city in order to be protected and kept, because it was certain that Herod would send his army to find Peter. And he needed to be in a different city, but also protected and kept by the power of God, by the mercy of God, by the love of God for his children. And God was manifesting himself with great power, because everything that the Lord did here, this miracle by bringing him out of prison, God did it so that those who were unbelievers and unfaithful would see that God is power, and that his apostles and these people that were preaching the gospel were people that were sent by him, so that they wouldn't doubt, because the Lord always did it with different reasons, with many objectives. He would do these things so that people would believe, so that everyone would know that they were fighting against a God of power. All of these things are what come to our mind about reflecting in God's power, in his manifestation, where God mocks in a certain way technology or science, and he works his miracles. He works miracles like when he healed a woman who had a fatal illness, and she had a dream where God told her that he was going to heal her and to not worry because she was healed in the dream. And she goes and they analyze her, and she asks the doctor to run tests, and they were scheduling a date to perform surgery. And she said, "I don't have that illness. Run tests." And the doctor said, "What is wrong with you?" And he most likely thought that she was crazy. And she said, "Run tests." And it turns out that she had no illness. So he was astonished. The doctor was astonished. Glory to our God. The doctor was astonished and said, "What happened?" And she said, "I go to a church where God speaks because God told me that I was healed." And the doctor said, "Yes, so invite me to that church." And she said, "Of course, I will invite you." When he goes to church, God speaks to him. He speaks to him about what is deep in his heart, what is hidden. And this person, it turns out that one of his family members was also going through that same illness. And there was nothing else to do because there was no medicine for it. And when he realized that this woman was healed because God healed her, he said, "I want for God to heal my family member." And so he went for God to speak to him. And he left saying, "God exists and he is in this place." That is what is wonderful. When God works a miracle, many are the ones who realize and they are witnesses of the miracle that God works, and many will have a heart that is willing, and they will convert to God, and they will give the glory to God, and they will say that God does exist. That is why I say that God mocks science as well. So our God is powerful, and he does so many things. That is why we believe in him. Blessed be his name. And so it says here that in verse 18, it says, "Then as soon as it was day, there was no small stir among the soldiers about what had become of Peter." Of course, in prison, everyone had that information with the news that there was a prisoner that escaped from prison. How did he do it? If the gates were closed once again, because it says that the Lord once again closed those gates with a lock. And so they couldn't tell where Peter went. Verse 19, "But when Herod had searched for him and not found him, he examined the guards and commanded that they should be put to death." Poor guards. Because they were the ones that suffered that punishment. "And commanded that they should be put to death. And he went down from Judea to Caesarea and stayed there." So we see how the ones who suffered were the guards, but God protected Peter. But Peter and the apostles were never shocked about being persecuted or being taken to jail as prisoners, and much less being threatened and being sent death threats, because the Lord Jesus Christ clearly had warned them. The Lord Jesus Christ, when he was with the apostles, he told them what they were going to suffer later on, what they were going to live, the experiences that they were going to live, so that they would be warned and they would prepare themselves so that they wouldn't be worried. Because the Lord told them that they were going to be suffering many tribulations, persecutions because of his name, but to not worry because their names would be in the kingdom of heaven. So let us remember a little about when the Lord Jesus Christ gave this advice so that all of these situations wouldn't surprise them. Here in Matthew chapter 10. In Matthew chapter 10, without losing the book of Acts, from verse 16 to 24, Matthew chapter 10, from verse 16 to 24, it says the following. It says, "Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves." That is what the Lord Jesus Christ said when he was with the apostles, and he told them what was going to happen in the future to the apostles. He says, "I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to councils and scourge you in their synagogues. When this happens, you must not be worried. Do not be discouraged, nor think about turning back in the path that you are walking on." The Lord was advising them that this was going to happen. And he says, "You will be brought before governors and kings for my sake, as a testimony to them and to the Gentiles, as a testimony to those governors and kings, and also to the Gentiles." Because the apostles were going to be persecuted, mistreated, but at the same time, the Lord was going to manifest himself with many wonders with them in such a way that all of this was going to be well known and the news would be spread in all the cities, in many different towns and different people that would know and understand that the Messiah had appeared which was Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And there were miracles and there were wonders, there were works, and the apostles were people that had powers and would also work many miracles. And that it was true that God existed because of the extraordinary things that the Lord would be doing. So all of this persecution also brought about the fact that many were going to see in God's hand, his powerful hand, his manifestation, and they were also going to think and say, God does exist, and those apostles are preaching the truth of God. One way or another, many people who heard all of these events, they also believed the word of the Lord. Many converted. And so that is why it says that this was as a testimony to the governors and kings. The existence of the Lord Jesus Christ as the Son of God and as the way that leads to eternal life. And it says here in verse 19, "But when they deliver you up," the Lord tells the apostles, "but when they deliver you up, do not worry about how or what you should speak. For it will be given to you in that hour what you should speak." He promised them that the Lord would support them and he would give them the words in their mouths, what they needed to say in that moment. And all of this is what we've been reading in the book of Acts. And we will read it when we read about Paul, who was before important people speaking and discussing the word of God. And everyone admired the doctrine, admired the way that he spoke, the way that he declared that perfect doctrine of our Lord. And they admired him, saying, what a person. Where had they prepared themselves? Where did they study in order to speak so many wonderful things? And it was the Lord, the Spirit of God, who would take the mouths of the apostles to speak. And not only of the apostles, but all of those who are open to, with a sincere heart, to serve God. The Spirit of God will be in your mouth to speak, to teach, to address, to advise, and to work miracles and wonders. That is the promise of our God to all of his followers. Glory to the name of the Lord. So it says, "For it will be given to you in that hour what you should speak. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you." Glory be to our God. We feel proud. We are proud of having this true and powerful God that comes and humbles himself. And the Lord humbles himself when he speaks through our mouths. That is the most beautiful thing that could ever be. We are human beings. Who are we? We are nothing. We don't deserve this. But that is God's love. That is his word. Those are his plans, his promises. That is what he determined, and he will fulfill it. He will do it. And so it says in verse 21, it says, the Lord says, "Be careful, do not worry. Now, brother will deliver up brother to death." Yes, of course. The brother who is a Jew, he will then go and deliver up his brother who converted to the gospel of Jesus Christ. He goes, accuses him, and delivers him to give him death. Being brothers, it doesn't matter if they are brothers, if they are blood, but because of their religion. So it says, "Now brother will deliver up brother to death, and a father his child." That also we have heard about through history, where also the child converts to the gospel. And since the father was from a different religion, but at that time he was a Jew, he went to deliver his child to death for having believed in Jesus Christ. How sad. It says, "And children will rise up against parents and cause them to be put to death." If the children at that time were Jews and their parents converted to the gospel, believing in Jesus Christ, then their children didn't care about that. They went, accused them, and delivered them to death. All of these things the Lord told the apostles, all of these things are going to happen. Do not falter. Do not lose faith. Press on. Be steadfast, because God's power is going to be keeping you, protecting you. He will deliver you and he will help you. And that is what God tells us today, right? That is what God tells us to press on, that he is going to give us victory, that he's going to give us triumph. He's going to keep us and protect us from evil. Glory be to our God. That is how we have believed it. That is what we believe and hope for. And I know that our God is not going to fail us. And it says here in 22, and you will be hated by all for my name's sake. But he who endures to the end will be saved. So we ought to press on. Let us not look at the tribulation at that difficult moment. Don't look at these things that happen, because all of this is going to happen in our path, in our lives. But we ought to be courageous, strong, and press on, facing all of these tribulations and problems and situations, and press on, fighting, marching on, serving our God, because we know that with God, we will gain more than just being regular human beings. And God will help us, and let us press on until the end of our days. The Lord Jesus told his apostles, he who endures to the end will be saved. And today also, the Lord also tells us that we ought to persevere, endure until the end. And here in verse 23, the Lord was also giving some guidelines. When they persecute you in this city, flee to another. For assuredly, I say to you, you will not have gone through the cities of Israel before the Son of Man comes. In other words, that until they went to different cities, which hasn't happened, and to this day it hasn't happened, to go to every city for everyone to hear the gospel, to hear the gospel of the Lord, that is what the Lord has allowed. We don't know why, but after 2,000 years, we are here. We trust and we hope in the Lord. We wait on his promises. We are not worried about the coming of the Lord, but what we're worried about is what our lives are like daily. What is our life like before the Lord? That is what we are worried about. And we are trying to continue to not falter, to be holy, to be perfect every day that goes by, to progress in our spiritual lives, because we know that one day God is going to give us that crown. He is going to bless us. And if we are around or not in the coming of the Lord, either way, we would have won a battle and triumphed, and we would be in the presence of the Lord. That is the interesting thing. And so the Lord told them that the disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for a disciple that he be like his teacher. In other words, to follow his steps, to have the same faith, conviction, same steadfastness, same certainty, same spiritual maturity. And a servant like his master, imitating him in everything. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, in other words, a demon, how much more will they call those of his household? The Lord comforting the apostles, saying that if the master of the house, the Lord Jesus Christ, they slandered him and they called him a demon, that because of the demon's power, he was able to do so many things, then of course, even more reason they will do this with his believers. He says, my beloved apostles and disciples, they're going to do that to you as well. If they did it with me, they're going to do the same to you. But don't worry, press on, be steadfast. And today, we are here in God's presence. Today, we are trying to imitate the Lord's footsteps. And so our master will say, don't worry. I was also persecuted and I suffered pain and sacrifice. You press on, because one day you will be there seated next to me, enjoying all of the wonders that are in eternity. Glory be to God. So now let us read in John 15, here in John 15. Also, another advice from the Lord to his apostles, or another warning as well in John 15 from verse 18 to 20. He says practically the same thing in John 15 from verse 18 to 20. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. Do not worry if the world hates you, because they will hate anything concerning God. And it is so, because that is what we're seeing today in this reality that we live in. We see that the world does not care about seeking God, nor even mentioning him. There are catastrophes. There are so many things worldwide, and you see them in the news and everyone cries, and you see so many disasters, so many painful things, so many deaths. But no one says, I cried out to the Lord. I asked the Lord. I cry out to the Lord for him to help me. No one thinks about God, because it probably embarrasses them, thinking that someone is going to criticize them. What are they going to say about them? Look at that believer in God. That's sad. But we are not ashamed. We proclaim to all the world the name of our God. And we highlight that our God is powerful, and that he is the only one who can keep us, who can help us, who can bless us. And that in those days of catastrophes or many things that happen in the world because of nature, that the Lord will be with us and he's going to protect us. He is going to protect us. He's not going to allow us to perish. Glory be to our God. And so it says, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Do not worry. Do not be anxious. Press on. That is what the Lord said. And that is what the Lord says to us today as well. Glory be to his name. So now let us go back to Acts. We're going to continue in the reading in verse 20 to conclude. So it says that the apostles, Peter and the apostles that were there gathered together in that place, they were praying for Peter. They knew that these things were going to happen. For them, it was nothing new. They were not shocked. They were not discouraged. They said, Lord, you see, because we were following your way, look at what's happening to me. They took me to prison and now they're going to take my life. Lord, now they're persecuting me. They did not say this. They did it. When we read this, we see that they did everything with all joy in their heart, because the Lord had already told them. God had already spoken to them. Beforehand, they were warned. Just as the Lord does with us today. He warns us, and so we pray and we say, Lord, do not abandon us. Do not leave us. Lord, help us. You see, we have enemies. We have an enemy that persecutes us, that harms us in one way or another. Keep us, Lord. That is our prayer, our trust, because God has manifested himself in our lives and he speaks to us, and we know our Lord. We know the Lord. Just as at that time, the apostles knew already about the Lord because the Lord had already explained this to them. Glory to the King. And it says here in verse 20, now Herod had been very angry with the people of Tyre and Sidon. But they came to him with one accord, and having made Blastus, the king's personal aide, their friend, they asked for peace because their country was supplied with food by the king's country. There we see at this time, conflicts, wars, people fighting for money, territories, all of these things, God has allowed it, and that is respectable. Very well. In verse 21, so on a set day, Herod, arrayed in royal apparel, sat on his throne and gave an oration to them. In other words, he began to speak to the people. And it says, and the people kept shouting, the voice of a god and not of a man. He began to give his speech, Herod. He began to give a speech to the people, and the people were so angry. And the people said, we want the voice of a god. We want for God to speak to us and not a man. They were so angry. And they said, the voice of a god and not of a man. When our God was mentioned, there needed to be reverence, and they needed to honor and respect that name, that word, by saying the name of God. And so it says, then immediately an angel of the Lord struck him, Herod, because he did not give glory to God, and he was eaten by worms and died. Because when the people said the voice of a god and not of a man, he should have been respectful and should have honored the name of the Lord at that moment. And he did not do it. And that is why it says that the Lord punished him and he was eaten by worms and died. But the word of God grew and multiplied. Blessed is the Lord. And Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had fulfilled their ministry, and they also took with them John, whose surname was Mark. They continued their way. They continued the steps of the Lord Jesus Christ. They continued there because they needed to fulfill with a duty that the Lord had given them. The duty of evangelizing. And they did not give up, nor did they regret anything, nor did they turn back. Nor did they say, Lord, I will not follow you anymore. We are no longer going to preach your word because look at everything that's happening to us. Look at this persecution. Look, they are seeking our lives. They did not see these things. They looked at our God and they pressed on. What an example. What a testimony. Today, there have been 2,000 years that have passed, and God speaks today to people. God speaks to us. God continues to speak through visions, dreams, prophecy, the spiritual gifts. God today makes promises, fulfills them. He works miracles, wonders. He uses men and women who have a good heart. He uses them for the evangelizing work. That is what the God that we have does. The same God as yesterday, the same God that had Moses, that had Abraham, that had Jacob and Isaac. That is the same God that we have today. Blessed is the Lord. The glory for our God, the honor, the worship is for our Lord. We are going to stand praying to our God, giving thanks to our God, but also let us take the time now that the Lord has given us permission and tells us to pray to him and ask for many things. And since he has allowed for us to ask for many things, we are going to ask just that. We are going to ask the Lord for our material needs in life, for the desires of our heart, for illnesses, for example. Any illness, for mental illnesses, to ask the Lord for us or for my friends or family or those who are near me who are sick, who have mental illnesses, to ask the Lord for them. And ask the Lord also if you do not have a job or you are lacking a place to live or a job or you have those needs, ask the Lord what you want. Because the Lord is here. He is watching us. He is listening to us. And so since he allows for us to ask him, we are going to do it. And we are going to ask him in the name of Jesus Christ, his beloved son, the one who Peter preached about. Glory be to God. And so we are going to pray to our God with all of our hearts and with our faith and trust in him. Holy Father, Heavenly Father, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, in this moment, we present ourselves before you, O Lord, to give you the honor, glory, and praise, to bless your name, to worship you, to bless you in every aspect of our life and every field in our life. You are righteous. You are merciful. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your wonderful promises. Thank you for your word, for all that you have spoken to us about and have fulfilled. Thank you for your divine manifestation. Powerful Father, you are the creator and owner of the entire universe. You are our divine shepherd, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. To you, Lord, in this moment, we ask with all of our hearts. We need for you to extend your powerful hand and that you may place your powerful hand upon all of our heads. All the thousands that in this moment are watching this sermon. And that you may bless and heal and deliver. Remove witchcraft and sorcery. Remove curses. Remove illnesses that are incurable. Destroy all illness. Give them peace and joy and happiness to all. Healing, my Lord. Happiness. Give comfort. Fulfill their petition and fulfill the desires of their heart, Holy Father. In the glorious name of Jesus Christ, your beloved Son, we ask you, my Lord, the honor, the glory, and praise is for you now and forevermore. Amen. Glory be to our God. The honor is for our God. Thanks be to the Lord. We praise you and we honor you and we glorify you, my Holy Father. Thank you for your kindness. Glory to the King.
Orando, orando, orando a mi Señor. Siempre estamos orando por el Consolador. Orando a mi Señor, Él oirá. Y dones celestiales nos concederá. Orando, orando, orando a mi Señor. Siempre estamos orando por el Consolador. Orando a mi Señor, Él oirá. Y dones celestiales nos concederá.
Glory to the Lord. Thanks be to our God. Thank you very much, my beloved brothers and sisters and people who are here for the first time and newcomers. May God bless you greatly. A hug for all of you and for the children, the kiss as usual. May God bless you. See you soon. Thank you very much. Thank you, brothers and sisters here as well. May God bless you.